Welcome her as she comes.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand for a moment. And let's just take just a few seconds and just think about how awesome our God really, really is. And the words are around the screen. Okay?
So amazing. Your love for us is all.
Particularly ministers to me because I just think about the presence of the Lord in our lives and how God meets us each and every day. And we can't explain it, but I'm telling you that our God is amazing. In every aspect of our lives, He's amazing. He turns every situation that is so messed up, He makes it amazing when He steps in. And that's what I see each and every day. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. I thank you for being Lord of everything. I thank you, Lord, for being Lord of my life. I thank you, God, for your power, your strength, and your might that comes in, God, to minister to us. I pray today, Father, that as I speak, you would speak to your people because you have spoken to me. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can turn. Today I specifically felt that God was speaking to me. And Jacob's testimony was really a blessing because I thought about, I was about Jacob's age or a little bit older when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I really thought about the fact that I was so excited. I was so excited and I wanted to hear him give that testimony because I know that when you go away to summer camp and you come back, especially a church camp and you come back and God has done something special for you, you feel like you can't contain it. And you just want to tell everybody about it. And camp has been especially dear to my heart. I spent a lot of years going to the Church of God camp as both a kid and a leader. And when you go as a leader, Hunter can testify, you work yourself to death. But there is a blessing being in the services. So they had a wonderful time. I want to speak today about growth. Because I spend most of my time looking at children and making sure that there is a growth and development. This book is called Healthy Beginnings. And those of you that ever work in the early childhood area know that it's about making sure that children meet their milestones. And we spend most of our time charting and doing assessments, making sure that the children are up to par. It doesn't mean if a child doesn't meet that milestone that the child is retarded, handicapped, or anything like that. It just simply means that there are areas that we need to help that child to form into a better individual, but also meet all of the milestones. I was thinking about that in our spiritual walk. God has plans for us. He has plans for us to meet certain levels. But the problem is that we ourselves think that it's going to come through some sort of way that we don't have to move into it. Growth is both a responsibility and a process. What does that mean? That you and I have some responsibility to grow into an area of God. Responsibility, I have learned, is like a taboo word. When you mention responsibility, everybody is like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hear that. Because responsibility means you have to do something. You're not a robot, and no one's going to come in and make you do it. It means that you have to be a willing participant. Everybody looks at me quietly. You have to be a willing participant. Amen? Amen. And I want to tell you something. I look at responsibility with our children as we are downstairs and I say, what are you doing? Put that on. And they say, would you do it for me? And then they give you a big smile. So you feel you should put it on for them. But if we put it on each and every time, when will they learn? So I turn to them and I say, how about you put it on? And then I will stand here. And if you put it on the wrong way, I will help you. And then they say, no, you put it on. And we go back and forth for a few minutes, and I'm really strong. So what I do is I sit next to them and I say, no shoe, no play. So put the shoe on. And then all of a sudden, you'll see that little foot moving towards the wrong shoe. They never move towards the right shoe. It's always the wrong shoe. And they're trying with all their might to get that shoe on. And then I say, take it out, put your foot in the other shoe. Oh, and then it slips on. Responsibility. The first responsibility of the believer is to make spiritual growth a priority. If we don't make it a priority, we're not going to grow. And that's something that I learned very early in my Christian walk, because I wanted to come to church and just let only the words of the pastor minister to me. And when I walked out of church Monday through Saturday, I had no other connection. Because after all, the pastor gave me the word, and wasn't that enough? And so I kept going. And then in the middle of the week, I would find myself doing, saying, or just blowing it, just being so angry about something. And then I would say, what is the problem? Well, the problem is I had a responsibility to get in the presence of a living God Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, and seek his face and find out what he's saying to me in order to grow. So read and believe this book and have eternal life. The word of God, you either have to read and believe it, not just read or believe. You have to read and believe. And you will have eternal life. There's that acceptance that God's word is real. And I want God's word to work in my life. Genuine godliness is always marked by a love and a delight in God's word. Psalms 119:05 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Where can you go and what will you do without God's word lighting the pathway? I was looking at coming up the stairs in the dark. There is a set of stairs here, and sometimes we're fumbling with the light when we bring the children up. And I remember one specific day, we were coming up for practice, and we were getting ready for graduation, and we were fumbling with the light, and we couldn't get the light on, and my brother over here remembers it, and we were just trying to figure out why the light wouldn't come on. And one of the little kids said, don't you think we should stop before we all get hurt? And it was like, okay, now he is much smarter than we are, because here we are, all these adults, and we're all trying to fumble up the stairs. And he said, don't you think we should stop before we get hurt? So then one of us came around, and something was wrong with the light downstairs. One of us came around, and when we came around, we turned the light on here, and the light came on. And we all started walking up the steps. One of the things is God's word lights our path. God's word shows us the right way. And if we can get in God's word and really delight ourselves and really begin to read God's word, you won't feel like you're stumbling along the way. I'm talking about this because I can tell you that I have had strength times in my reading, strength times in my devotion, and I have had weaknesses in my reading and weaknesses in my devotions. Before college, not Bible college, but before I was working on my master's, I was up, I was reading, I was praying, and it was not a chore. It was where God was leading me. And then I started the master's program, and I had to readjust. I had to find a flow of where I can do this, and I can actually begin to meditate on God. And it was difficult because I was regimented one way, and God was saying, Robin, you don't have to do this. You can do it my way. Just relax. Just let me flow. And then I began to relax, and that morning turned into that afternoon. And there I found myself meeting God in the afternoon. I would take a lunch break and go and do devotions. It wasn't that morning. And so there's adjustments in that time of meeting with God, and you have to relax in it. Because the most important thing is that you go and you meet with God. It's not that you're on this rigid schedule that comes in and blows everything. It's just that you find that time that you're relaxed in the presence of a living God. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do everything that is written therein. Then you will prosper and be successful. I saw the success of knowing that God is in my life and that God is speaking to me. And there were times of utter frustration going through the program where I just felt like, God, I can't do this. And ever so gently, the Lord would be speaking to me saying, Robin, I'm with you. I am with you. And I am holding you. And you are not alone. And you go in there and you study, and I will move. I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. You ever go to study and your mind's going all over the place? And you start thinking about the ironing, and you start thinking about the cooking, and you got the shopping list, and you got to go pick your son up from basketball. And my mind would be like running. And then I could feel the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, just sweep over my mind that Jacob was talking about. And the Lord would come in, and there would be a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I could go right back into study again. Because it's not just for one particular time. That's the problem. The problem is that the presence of the Lord is not just for church. It's not just for when you're saying hallelujah. It's not just, but it's when you're crying in the midnight hour, when things are going wrong, when the earth is shaking all around you, when there is no peace to be found. The presence of the Lord is for all of those times. And we sometimes get stuck that we've got to be praying, we've got to be fasting, we've got to be speaking in tongues, we've got to be doing this. But I'm telling you that the Lord will come in ever so gently, and his presence will come in, and you will feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit surrounding you. Over and over and over again, the Bible says, in 1 Peter 2:2-3, like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had the taste of the Lord's kindness. An analogy is being made here about how simple it is. how simple it is that every believer, whether he or she is a new convert or not, or an old convert, that he would come into full faith or maturity in the faith, and that every believer is to crave the Word of God. God's calling us to crave the Word of God. You know, have you ever, ever wanted something so bad you could almost taste it? Anybody ever wanted a meal or something from a restaurant or even you cooking it, you could taste it? You worked yourself up on it so bad you were like, oh, I can't wait to get it. I can't wait to get it. Sometimes it's a little disappointing because you get it and it doesn't taste like you made it up in your mind to be. But still, you craved it. How many weeks can you go without God's word? How many days can you go without getting in the presence of the Lord? But you love him. 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, but you love him. Something's wrong. Because if you love him, you'll come to him. And you will lay in his presence. And you will ask him, God, what do you have for me? This is not about conviction. This is about you loving him. If you loved something very specific, you would be there. I'm telling you, nothing could hold you back. I have things that my children at the school say they love. And this is interesting. They love when you play music. And all of them come running. Some of them you can't find. And Jennifer knows this. And all of a sudden, you play 1 ounce of music in Riversong. And the children run from everywhere. And they start moving. And they're doing all kinds of dancing. And you say, oh, I didn't even know she was here. Because she was over in the corner. Now, of course, she's marked in. But she was in the corner, not talking, not doing anything, but let the music play. And they love music. And they will run and start dancing and moving. And it's not one time. You can keep the music on all day and they'll still be jumping around. They love it. But oftentimes we say we really love God, but we don't press in. There's a press we have to get in for God. Sometimes that little bit of laziness comes in. I thought about we have to make an allergy list in the daycare. And I was making the list for our new year, which comes up real soon. And as I was making that list, something hit me. And what I thought about immediately became very spiritual to me is that if we're not careful, we'll develop spiritual allergies against the Word of God. Because here I have all these little children. They're allergic to eggs. They're allergic to this. They're allergic to that. Peanuts. They're allergic. And we have to watch each and every one of these things. When we have parties, we have to ask the parents, what are the ingredients so that the children do not get these particular things and it will make them sick? But if we are not careful, we will develop allergies against the Word of God or against the presence of God or against coming to the house of God. People say, I read the Word of God, I get sleepy. Remember, Medea says that all the time. I read the Word of God, she gets sleepy. Okay? She's got an allergy and she also got something else. But here's the problem. Here's the thing. We have to understand, don't let an allergy develop against God's presence. We are spiritual beings. And we need to know that to grow, you must be intentional, not accidental. If I'm going to go grow in God's presence, I've got to make an effort to grow. I cannot do this accidentally, fall into the church. Oh, I'm at church now. Okay. I was speaking with someone yesterday that said, she said, well, I'm going to go to church with you. So I called her and I said, I was just checking to see if you were still going to church on Sunday. And her topic, her conversation was interesting. She said, you know, I thought about it. And when I told you I was going to go, I really began to think of this. She said, you know, Robin, I'm going to do God my way. I said, oh, okay. I didn't didn't argue with her. I didn't say anything. I said, okay. I said, so in other words, you're not going, right? And she said, no, but I'm going to do God my way. She said, now, I don't want you to think that I'm a heathen and that I don't love God. Now, you know, I have to tell you, she needed to get inside of my brain. Then she would recognize I don't have that much energy for all of that. I didn't even have enough room to start thinking of what kind of a person she was. I was calling because she said, I want to go to church with you one day. And then before I walked away, she said, I'll go next Sunday. So I thought, you give her a call, you tell her what time you're leaving, so you don't leave her. So I called to do that, and she gave me a list of stuff that I was probably thinking. And I was thinking, honey, I am so tired. And what I am thinking is that I don't have time to think all of that. And she wanted to make sure that I didn't think she was a heathen, that I didn't think that she didn't love God, and she's doing God her way, and she has God in her life. I never questioned any of those things. What I know is that whatever she has in her life, if she's craving God, she'll make it to the house of the Lord. And maybe not this one, but she'll make it to someone's house of the Lord. Because let me tell you something. On Sundays, I wake up with an anticipation of getting to the house of the Lord. When I don't feel well and I can't make it, I'm telling you, I'm disappointed. And I like all of those TV preachers, different ones, but I'm telling you, the thought of missing my service, when I turn it on, I listen and I try to get with it, but all I keep thinking is, I'd really rather be at my church. That craving. Let me give you some baby facts. Because if you're desiring the sincere milk of the word, let me give you some baby facts. A baby develops a milk schedule. When we first get the baby to the daycare, they have their own schedule. And if we don't give them the milk on time, that is not a happy place. You ever heard six babies singing in harmony? Well, we have six babies all screaming, wah, 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 and they get like the hiccup sound, and it's really bad news. And let me tell you something. You can put the bottle in one or two mouths. That does not make the other ones be quiet until they get their milk. And even when you put the bottle in, you're going, you know, because they still won't be quiet until they recognize that they've got three or four good gulps. And then they go, there have been times that I have said to the staff that have just had a moment, I've said, everybody head to the baby room. We need some help because you got to feed six of them. And they are all angry. And, you know, just like they tell you, you don't want a transportation strike. You don't want babies crying. They say every president knows that you never want the transportation to go on strike. You never want six babies crying without their milk. Everybody, get milk. Let's feed them. Because when they are hungry, they stay on their schedule. A baby cries not only for their milk, but for someone else's milk. A baby reaches for his or her milk. A baby sees another baby drinking and will desire milk again. A baby is content after having his or her milk till the next feeding. Isn't that amazing? And yet, we are to desire the word of God like that. So, how many of us are still eating day-old bread? You may like penicillin, but I'd rather have the bread. You know, they keep telling you all about the mold and penicillin. And I opened up some bread once. And I started to be really gross and bring some bread in like that. But I thought, okay, give it up. But I opened up some bread once and the bread was truly green. And I thought, I don't care if it is penicillin. I don't care if it is a part of penicillin. Who wants it? I want us to think about, how do I keep the enthusiasm of craving God's word when I have been in Christ for many years? You recognize that true nourishment comes from reading, digesting, and acting upon the word of God. Be careful. Do not just read the word of God for the following reasons. Because you're looking at it as some sort of lucky charm that will do something for you. You're looking at it to keep a tradition. You're looking at it to get brownie points. You're looking at it to support a denomination. You're looking at the word of God to preach, to teach a lesson, to refute others. Read the word of God. Get in the presence of God because it is about you craving God's presence and his word so that you can grow. Growth is intentional, not accidental. It's a plan that you are making that I want to grow in God. Crave and read because a person who does not eat and drink from the word will be malnourished, bloated, sick, and eventually unable to stand firmly. I went years ago to see one of my uncles who was dying of alcoholism, and just seeing this man that always, he was 6 feet and above. And I always thought of him as being so powerful, so strong, because he was so big. We got there, and there's this man that can hardly, he's got cirrhosis of the liver, and he can hardly move. And he is all shriveled up in the bed. And I looked at him and I thought, my God, this is the man that I looked at every time when I was growing up and I went back home. I would see him as being so big, so strong, so mighty. And here he is. He's not only malnourished because he wouldn't eat, but he was so sick. If we got a good look at ourselves in a mirror, and we could look at ourselves through a spiritual eye of seeing us. Are you malnourished? Are you wasting away? Is that the reason why you're having explosions? Is that the reason why you feel out of control sometimes? Is that the reason why you get so angry that everybody has to run? Are you malnourished? Are you away from God? Growing is a process. I thought about this. I am a terrible plant grower. If I touch a plant, you can bank on the fact it's going to die eventually. I do not have any part of me that has a green thumb. But here's the reason why I believe now that I've gotten older and I've been at this church and there's all these plant people here and I listen to their stories. My problem is this. I take the plant and it's not growing here, so I move it over here. And then I say, oh, it's not growing. It needs more water. So I put a whole bunch of water and the water's coming all out of the bottom of it. And then I say, oh, now it needs to go back over here in the sun. And I keep moving it from place to place and thing to thing. And all of the changes does not help the plant. We need to stop running. We need to get consistent. Stop moving. And all the love I have for you, I would tell you that if you hear something here that you don't like, come back next Sunday. Hear it again. Hear another message. Don't run. I have grown up with loads of changes in my life. My life has been consistently changing over the years because when I was growing up, I was moved here and here and here, and I stayed in different places. When I converted that over to my Christian walk, let me tell you what happened. I began to jump all over the place and move all over the place. And then I realized I have no stability. And if I don't like what's being said over here, I'll move over here. And if I don't like what's happening over here, I move over here. And if I don't like the way they said it, move over here. And then I started saying, God, I need to be stable. I know that your word will make me stable. And then I started getting longevity in the body of Christ. Because I recognized that it was not about what hurt, what was bitter or sweet. I recognized it was about growth. And growing is a process. And in a process, it's baby steps at a time. It's things coming that you don't like that seem a bit bitter. And then all of a sudden, if you can hang around long enough, it will get sweeter. But you've got to stick with it. If you got running feet, tell your feet to settle. I stopped messing with the plant. Stopped moving the plant all over the place. Left the plant alone because I got some advice that told me what to do. I did it. I stopped putting all kinds of water in it and buying crazy water, bottled water, purified water, all that other stuff. I was just trying to let the plant live. I stopped. Put it in one place. Watered it when it was supposed to be watered, and the plant grew. To my amazement, despite me, the plant grew. Slow down. Stop. We all feel hurt. We all feel pain when God is pulling away a layer that he does not want us to have. When he is saying, I want change in your life. We all feel it. When our sisters and brothers that are growing in the Lord come to us and say, maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. We all want to run. Slow down. Stop moving from place to place and have consistency. I called some of my brothers and sisters in Christ and I asked them, what is it that you had to be careful with when you came into a relationship with Christ? I gave you mine. Change. Change was extremely hard for me. One of my other sisters in the Lord that I called, she said, disciplining myself too. She had to discipline herself. She said, disciplining herself. She would commit to things very quickly. But she said she had a problem with disciplining herself to follow through. That might be you. That you join something, you commit to it very quickly. But then disciplining yourself to follow through with it. God's got you and he has the ability to do that. The next one said basically the same thing, finish what I started. And the next one said the need to fix things myself. And not lay it in the presence of God and say, God, I need you to do this. But the need to fix things. Another one said, sitting long enough to grow. I talked about running. Just actually making a commitment. I am not going to leave. I am not going to run. I feel the running feet. I'm telling you guys that. Let me tell you something. I could feel myself ready to run. It wasn't conversation. I knew I was going to leave. I knew I was going to run. I never liked staying any place too long because I didn't want to be mistreated. God did this. God changed my life. And he helped me recognize that running feet was not the right answer, but that I had to have a planted feet. I began to get those roots that the Bible talks about. A tree planted by the river, but spreading out its roots. I got deep-seated and deep-rooted. And I was able to stand. Another one said, disconnect with prayer. Because she said, I wasn't sure it really worked. She had a disconnect with prayer. And if you have a disconnect with prayer, you have a really hard, difficult time of believing that God is real. Because you can't talk to something you don't believe in or someone you don't believe in. Another one said, allowing myself to be taught. Because she said she was well educated and she didn't understand why she had to go somewhere and let someone teach her. Wow. Those are just seven reasons, including mine. There's just seven reasons why we struggle with being in the presence of the Lord. That might not be your reason, but for some of you, you might be found right in the middle of those reasons. I want to challenge you. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." It's time to grow. It's time to grow in the knowledge of our Savior, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time to grow. You know, we talk, when I was growing up, they spent a lot of time talking about what happens if the Bible's ever taken from you. And in many countries, it has been taken. What do you do then? Do you sit and you contemplate about all the times it was right there in your house, not just one, but 17 of them, and you would put them under tables and chairs for decorations, but never touch them? Something to think about. Growing spiritually begins with a decision, growing on a strong foundation, through and by the word, then growing as you work together in ministry. How do you grow even more? Work with somebody. Let me tell you, you not only grow by making a decision, you not only grow by allowing a strong foundation to be built under you through and by God's word, but then start working together. You grow. And if you don't get running feet and you rub up against each other and you grow just by learning. And let me tell you something. We have lots of great personalities in the Bible, but we have lots of great personalities in the body of Christ. And when we all rub up against each other and we all come in with our little crazy things and our little idiosyncrasies that we can't hardly stand and all of that kind of stuff, it makes out for interesting rubbing. But if we can get to the point that we say, I'm not leaving, I'm going to grow in this. I'm going to stay still and hear God's word. I'm telling you, change will come. In 2 Peter, and this is the last scripture I want to read, verses 1 through 8. And this is specifically talking about growing in the faith. On just a couple of weeks ago, we were downstairs and the children were singing. And Miss Barb had them singing, and this is before I left to go on vacation, so it was several weeks ago. And they were singing praises to the Lord. And there was just one child that was singing louder than all the other children. He had such an excitement in him. You know the wonderful thing about him singing louder? His parents serve Buddha. And here's this wonderful little child. And he is standing and he is going back and forth. And he's talking and singing about how great God is. And all I could see, because I see what God can do in the future, all I could see is his entire family coming to Jesus Christ because of him. Just because of him. The mission is that we bring their children to the Lord so that they can bring their families. Because after all, I am a product of that. God saved me, and then he saved my entire family. He bought me in to draw my family in. So I'm telling you that if you have a child and you are ministering to children, don't get discouraged, because children beget parents, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous and glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Where are those promises? In his word. So we've got to read his word. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the grace, with the generous provisions of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, which means willpower and discipline and restraint. With patient endurance, stamina, staying will, that you can stick with something. Endurance with godliness, a right relationship with Jesus Christ, coming to him. And godliness with brotherly affection. We also think that we can have so many wonderful things, but if we can't love each other, we have nothing. You can have all the God in the world, but I'm going to tell you something. If your God does not help you to love, something's wrong. Because our first call is to love each other. We have got to love each other. We have got to treat each other with dignity and respect and love and care about it. If I bleed, you should be equally concerned. Because if you bleed, I should be equally concerned. It's amazing that part of the problem in our country is that we only care if it's at our doorstep. My mother had a saying years ago that they would say, it's me, my four, and no more. But in the body of Christ, in Christ, it's more than me and my four. It's all of us thinking and loving and caring about each other. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you malnourished? Because if you are, then it's never too late to start getting in the presence of a living God, craving his word. Everyone, please stand. This healthy beginnings, what's so neat about it is that when you open up the pages and you begin to look at where the children start and how the children are growing, and each section it tells you where, if a child isn't growing in this particular area, how to give the child strength and encourage growth. The Word of God does the same thing for the Christian. So today, if you're there and you say, but you know, it's a struggle, don't get running feet. Press in. Don't press out. Press in. And you'll see a change in your spiritual walk. Been there, done that. And I'm sure as I go on in the Lord, I'll struggle again. Because what happens is you go with a new level and you have to get a new time and a new thing and you reorganize your life. It may not always be the same time. But your God is there all the time. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. So I'm encouraging you to draw in. Every eye closed and every head bowed. I think about his love for us. And if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're doing it your way. You're figuring it out your way. I want to encourage you to come. Because we want to pray with you. You're here and you say, I do need Jesus, and I really need Jesus in my life. We want to pray with you. If you're also here and you're struggling with that, you're struggling with the whole idea of pressing into God and getting closer to God, and it seems a little mundane to you, and it seems like a struggle, we want to pray with you. Come down and let us pray with you. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for each of your people. And we pray, Lord, that you would move and that you would work, Lord, in every life. I pray, Father, that we would all crave your word and crave your spirit and crave to be in your presence. And, Father, that we would change not only, Lord, little things, but even our atmosphere, Father, in our homes and in other parts of our lives, Father, that we would change the atmosphere by creating, Lord, in your presence, Lord, just worship, by thanking you and worshiping and playing worship and quieting down some of the noise that's in our atmosphere, Father, so we can hear from you. You say, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. We thank you, Lord. Help us to follow, Lord, you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Fellowship out in the lobby.